Okay, then what we're going to move into today is Chapter 5, which is dealing with network addressing. Now, and if you guys do have a comment, please put your names into chat, and I will recognize you. Because I have my notes in another window, and I do not have a Braille display to switch back and forth, so if you would put your names in chat, that would be very helpful. Then we'll recognize you, and you can have the floor for your comment. All right. So, network addressing. And this is going to go under your IP addresses, your subnet masks, your default gateways, and a little bit of binary, and you'll have a little bit of hexadecimal conversions in the lab. And there is only
That's
one
all done
lab
by
for this
calculator.
chapter. Yeah, and you can do it by the Windows calculator. So we will go into the binary stuff a little bit. If people want to go a little bit further into depth, well, we can, but that's going to be totally up to you guys how far in depth you want to go in it. So, let's go ahead and begin with IP addresses and subnet masks. Now, your IP addresses have a purpose, obviously. You need them to communicate over any network, not just the internet. That's the one thing I do not like that your text says is a about just the internet. You need them to communicate over any network, whether it's local, whether it's the internet, it doesn't matter, you will need an IP address. Now, you have to have unique IP address in order to communicate on the network. If you don't, if two computers have the same IP address, you're gonna run into problems because it won't the networks, your routers, your switches, and other hosts are not gonna know exactly which computer to forward stuff to. So your MAC address and your IP address both play a part in that, but we'll get into that in just a little bit. Your IP addresses are assigned usually to some kind of network card, whether it's an Ethernet card or whether it's wireless. You will have an IP address assigned to it. And these, now, your anything sent over a network is going to have a source and a destination IP address. And that's to identify which host sent it and which host is supposed to receive it. All right, so the structure, if any questions on that section. Okay, so now IP addresses have well, there's two different structures, but the one they go into here is IPv4. And this is a 32-bit address grouped into four bytes. Now, just out of curiosity, I'm sure somebody can remember how many bits are in a byte. Very good. It's very good. So that's how you get the 32 bits. You have your four bytes, which are 8 bits. Then you get your 32. So that is your IP address as it stands right now. That will change when they roll out IPv6, but they don't cover that in this chapter. And actually, I'm not exactly sure how the IPv6 structure differs. We want to, well, I'll have to do a little bit of research into that one before I say, do we want to go into it? But there are pretty significant differences as to how that structure differs from the one that we're dealing with now. All right. So, now, if you have a 32-bit address, it's all going to be zeros and ones. And that's going to be very, very, very hard to keep track of as far as your which bits go to which portion to the IP address, and we'll get into that in just a bit too. So your IP address is basically broken down into your bytes, which are then converted to decimal form with a dot in between them. So your 192.168.1.1 that everybody's so used to seeing, that is called dotted decimal notation. And that's how all IP addresses end up being presented to the users. Now, that's not how the computer interprets them, but that's readability's sake, the easiest way to present that to humans. Okay, so you're gonna need to know a little bit about binary, in order to be able to do some of the stuff for the lab. Now, the lab actually has you use Windows Calculator to go in and do the binary to decimal conversions and the hex to regular decimal conversions. So what you have, you read binary right to left instead of like normal left to right, like you would read a decimal. Now, since they only are talking about 8 bits, your rightmost bit is going to be your one, and then it goes two, going to the left, it goes 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, and 128. And I'll show you. Let me
It's
skip
all
over to.
powers of two.
Yeah, it's base two. It's all powers of two. And I'll show you a binary number here. Let me get into chat. There we go. So, all right. So that would actually the 0, 1 that I just put in would actually be the representation of the number one. Because you have 2 to the power of 0, which actually comes out to be 1. So what happens is when you're going and doing the conversions, any place that has a 1 in it, you're going to add that number. And any place that has 0, well, you're not going to do anything with that. So if you have, let's just go 001. So what would that be in decimal form? Does anybody want to take a guess on that? I'm hearing quite a bit of number one, but that's not the answer. 001 would come out to be, let's see. Yep, that's it. It would be, let's see, 1, 2, 4. Yep, it would be 4. Now,
Brian, I did not understand how it is 4. 001, how it is 4?
because what happens is you read binary from right to left, and it starts out if you do your powers of two, you go 2 to the power of 0, which is 1, but there's nothing there. There's 2 to the power of 1, which is 2. There's a 0 in that spot, so there's nothing there. Sworn at 1 second, and I'll get to you. Then you have your 2 to the power of 2, which is where the 1 is. That's how it comes out to be 4. Swana, go ahead.
Brian, sorry to say you are going wrong. You should say left to right. You are telling right to left, which is putting us in trouble, right? The leftmost digit is 1.
No.
Well,
he's
no,
actually doing it. He's actually
wrong.
Doing it properly. He is actually
right.
Doing
on
it
the right
properly.
Side, you have 1. On the left side, you have 128.
Sorry to ask, then how the number which he has given now 001 has become?
He said
he
001.
Just explaining.
Oh
that,
no,
that
that's
one.
Wrong.
Yeah.
001 is 1.
Yeah, it should be 1.
Zero.
001 is 1. 100.
Then 4 should be 100,
oops.
Right?
Oops.
That's
I'm
right.
Sorry. I did put that in wrong.
But
that was not the one I was thinking of.
You're right.
Sorry about that. I meant to put that the other way.
You're right. But we have to work from left to right when we're working on binary. So you're right, and he's right. But he wrote it wrong.
Sorry, I did put that wrong. I meant to put... That's exactly what I meant to put. It's 100, and I just had it reversed in my head when I was doing it.
So here's an idea.
Brian,
and this is something... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's why everybody written 1.
Yeah. Okay, so here's an idea that actually might be good for this class. Sorry, go.
Brian, it was a good question, and you have tested us. We are all awake.
You are all awake. That's good. So I've got a quick idea, if this is okay with Brian. One thing we did in my binary class was the guy taught us how to count to 10 in binary.
Let's see what Grace has, because this might be helpful.
Sunil, just
okay?
hold your career a second and let Grace finish, and then we'll pick you up, okay?
So, as Brian has said, binary is ones and zeros. The only two numbers you can ever have are ones and zeros. So, let's talk about how to count to 10 in binary, because this usually clears up a lot of stuff. So, if we're thinking about ones and zeros, somebody tell me, obviously, what 1 would be.
1.
Right, 1. So, if we can only use ones and zeros, what would 2 be? Can anyone have a guess?
1, 0.
That's right, 1, 0. That means there's a 0 in the right-hand most column. Yep, where a 1 would be. And there is a 1 in the spot where the 2 would be. That's right. So now we want to go to 3. What is 3?
1, 1.
11, right, absolutely. So that means that there is a... you could put 0, 1, 1, but we usually leave off trailing zeros in binary. So it's just going to be 1, 1. There's going to be a 1 where... in the first column where the 1 would be, and a 1 where the 2 would be. 1 plus 2 equals 3.
So 1 lot of 1 and 2 and 1 lot of 2.
Absolutely. Now, as Brian said, we've got 1, 0, 0 for 4. Can anyone explain to me what those three columns should look like and why then? Go for it.
Hello, are you hearing me? Yeah.
We do.
That 1 double 0. Yeah, that 100 means, first of all, we say that 100 base 2. We get right to left. First of all, 0, and we multiply 0 into 2 to the power of 0. There, the answer only 0. Another 0, we multiply 0 into 2 to the power of 1. There, also, we get 0. The third digit, we find 1 into 2 to the power of 2. 2 to the power of 2 is 4. So 1 into 2 to the power of 4, 2 to the power of 2 equal to 4. Finally, 0 plus 0 plus 4, the answer is 4. Am I correct?
Right. And for anyone who is just completely confused by that and is not a math whiz, which probably aren't any of you, but for my own sanity here, we've got 0 lots of 1, 0 lots of 2, and 1 lot of 4 in that third column. Very good. All right, What would be the number 4, 5?
101.
101. And obviously, if 100 was one lot of 4, no lots of 0, no lots of 0, we put a 1 in there. We've got one lot of 4 plus 1 is 5. Okay, how about 6? No, wrong. Anyone else? 110. Hey, don't worry about it. I've done that.
110.
110. Absolutely. One lot of 4 plus one lot of 2. No, it's okay. It's not a problem. I've actually done that and thought it was right, too. So so you've got one lot of 4, one lot of 2, plus no lots of 1. That is 6. So 7 would actually be 111. So you filled up all 3 columns with 1s. Now, what do you think is going to happen when we go to 8?
It's 1,000.
Yeah. We have to go farther along the columns. We have to build another column for ourselves. So, we have 3 lots of zeros in 1, 2, and 4, and now we have 8 as 1,000. So we had to branch out and make that new column. And 9 is 1,001, because, yep, we're going to add again. And then 10 is going to be 1,010. One lot of 8, one lot of 2. Does anyone see a pattern here?
Yes.
Yes? Does that make any sense to anyone? Did that clear up anything about binary? Sorry to steal your thunder, Brian, but I thought maybe that little bit of remedial math exercise might have done them a world of good.
And yeah, that's fine. That's cool. No problems here.
Okay, so now do you still have a query signal? We forgot to talk about it.
Okay, barring my nice mistake on the number that I intended in binary, do we have any other questions on that section?
Are you going to give him some practice problems to try?
Yeah, let me go back into chat here. Okay, let me just go and do, let's try. Alright, let's try that, which is, and I'll put it on the recording here, as, okay, so, I've got a binary number in chat, which is, I lost my place in chat.
10001 is what you wrote.
Yeah, 10001, yep.
Yeah, decimal number happens to be 17.
Very good.
Yeah, I guess it is. Takes my brain a while to get there, but it is.
Yeah.
And I have to... I do actually have to go right to left and add the powers, and but that's how I do it.
That's what I did when I was typing the number, and just to be sure that I knew which one I was giving this time.
Yeah, you don't want to mess that up again.
This season.
Yeah, I'm like, why did that not turn? Oh, yeah, I put it in wrong.
Yeah,
okay, that happens. Alright, so what happens if we end up with 101010?
Decimal number happens to be 42.
The answer to the life, the universe, and everything.
And yes, that is 42. Good deal. Looks like we know the binary fairly well. And there is a lab that will give you
You're
good
doing
practice
better than
on that.
I did when I first started.
There is a lab later, I I don't remember what the lab number is, but it's a Windows calculator one that you go through and do a bunch of binary to decimal conversions and convert your IP
and
address
like
and
you
a whole bunch of
actually
other
do it in
good
your hand
stuff.
as opposed to just hitting the calculator buttons, if you can, because that's kind of why we're going over.
Okay. Any other questions? It looks like everybody's good with the binary. Any other questions on the binary or anything we've covered so far? Okay, so we'll go into parts of an IP address. Now, there are two parts to an IP address. There's a network portion and there's a host portion. And the subnet mask actually does play a role in determining what portion goes with which part of the IP address. I'm wondering if I should explain subnet mask here or later like they do in the chapter. Well, we'll do it. Let's do it this way.
They actually, I like the way they laid this chapter out, kind of.
There's a couple of spots in it I kind of don't like the way they laid it out, but let me do it this way. We'll go ahead and do it the way the chapter's got it laid out. So, when you're on a network, your network portion has to be the same for all computers. The host portion's obviously going to be different. And they do mention in this section that you can have multiple logical networks on one physical network. So what happens with this is, say you've got two networks. You've got one network that's 192.168.1.0 as your network, the 0 being where the host portion goes. And then say you have 192.168.2.0. That's two completely, totally separate networks, and you can run both of those networks on one set of either cable or wireless, depending on how you actually want to run the network. So, any questions before we move on to the activity, and then we'll talk. Then we'll talk about subnet mask next. Okay, so in this activity, they give you some PCs and they give you some IP addresses, and you have to figure out which network they belong to. When I first looked at this, I was like, I'm not sure how they want to do this without explaining subnet mask, but it actually is possible because of the way that this is laid out. So, there's a network A, which is 192.168.55. There's network B, which is 172.16.0.0. And network C, which is 10.0.0.0. Now, so you just have to determine network A, B, or C, which network these PCs belong on. So, first network, or first PC is 192.168.55.89, and yep, that is network A. Now, those who are answering network A, does somebody want to tell me why that would be network A?
Yeah, since it starts with the IP address 192.168.55.
And that's it, because of the 192.168.55, that's exactly why. Go ahead, Swarna.
Yeah, the same what you said, Brian, that what I was about to explain.
I'm not sure who that is. Go ahead.
Because of 192.168.5.5 that IP finally get 5 because of other 3 B and C all get 0 only. The final part of the IP address only mention the PC, okay, PC. So the first one have only final part 5. So I find A is correct answer.
Yeah, and that's it. Because of that 192.168.55, that's your network portion. The 89 would be your host portion in this case. Alright, so let's try PC2, which is 172.16.144.52. Very good. That would be network B. It would be the 172.16 point. Okay. Who's got the question?
You can put your name in the chat so he can call on you properly if you like. That does make things easier.
Yeah. Sunil, go ahead.
Sir, I need question once again. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So, this PC you want to determine which network it's on is 172.16.144.52, I believe the last of it was. So that was that question. Alright, so PC3 is, which network would it be on with an IP address of 192.168.55.173? Very good, that would be network A. PC4 is 172.16.188.13. Very good, that would be network B. How about PC5, which is on 10.119.37? I didn't catch the last of that, but yes, that would be network C. And we have two more to go. PC6 is 172.16.227.146. Very good. PC6 would be on network B. What about PC7, which is 10.147 point... Very good. That would be C. Alright. Looks like everybody's got a pretty good grasp of that. So any questions so far?
Yeah. Actually, I wanted to know, you were telling that on one physical network we can run multiple logical networks. Whether it can be run simultaneously or I'm not much clear about that.
Okay. So what happens is you can run one physical network. Say you've got a switch, or, well, let me do it this way. Say you've got 3 computers connected to a network. Say you've got 6 computers connected to a network. We'll do it that way, so it'll kind of make it a little easier. You've got 6 computers connected physically to each other through Ethernet cable. Now, if those computers are connected to a router, and there's, you will have that physical network. So, what happens is you can have 3 of the computers be on, say, the 192.168.55 network, and you can have 3 other computers be on, say, 10.0.0 network. So the router is actually going to know which computers to forward everything to. But because of the different network address portion in the IP, the 192.168.55 and the 10.0.0, that's how you can actually put multiple networks on multiple logical networks on one physical network. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I got the answer. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, it's basically just comes down to what the network portion of the IP address is, and that will determine what networks the computers are on. Arpit, go ahead.
When we are connecting more than one logical network through a router, so will the router be having more than one default gateway?
Your router will actually only have the one IP. And actually that's going to go into a little bit of a different section. But your router will only have one IP address. But the way that it's configured, it will be able to determine which networks to forward stuff to. Does that answer your question?
Not really. Like, what I have read up till now is if a computer wants to send a packet to the router, it should know the router's IP address. Now, suppose one computer is on IP address 192.168.1.0 and it wants to forward the router, the packet to the router. So the router is on, say, 10.10.0.0 IP address. So how will it forward the packet to the router if it only has one IP and there are more than one logical network on the same physical network?
That's actually going to be discussed a little bit further on, but that's where a default gateway comes in. So if the computer doesn't know, if the computers don't know where to forward your packets, it will go to the default gateway, and then the default gateway will handle it from there. But that's coming up in a little bit. But does that kind of help?
Just one question though. Default gateway, yes. So which device will be serving as a default gateway in this current example where three logical addressing is done on the same physical network to one router which has only one IP address?
Let's see. That's... If I think what would end up happening... I probably shouldn't have used the router as an example for the logical networks. That was probably a bad example on my part, but what you would end up having to do is set the gateway static. Okay, there we go. So with the router, what you'd end up having to do is set up two networks statically and then set the default gateway to the router is how that would actually, I believe that would be the best way to go about it.
So can you just give an example of a network with more than two logical addressing with their IP addresses and the default gateway and how to statically set them?
Let's see. I'll have to check back in the text, but I think I'm not sure if they had one in there or not. But so you have two networks on the two logical networks on your physical network. If you go in and you statically set up your IP addresses and say one network is 192.168.1.0, then you have... go ahead, Chandrasekhar.
See, can I answer this question, Brian?
Go ahead. If you want to try for it, go ahead.
Not much audible.
Hello? Now is it okay?
That's better.
There you go. There you go.
See, in the case of two logical networks, you know, for example, 192.168.1.1 or 1.55 something is there. This is a one network. 1. something is there is a one network. Okay, network A. And the network B will be having 172.168.1.1 55 dot some x. This is a network B. See, the for this network A and network B, there will be two different default gateways. For example, for 192.168.1, I think it's a 1.1 is the always 1.1 or 1.0 is going to be a default gateway. I think 1.0 is going to be a default gateway. For network B, it is going to be 172.168.1.0 is going to be a another network default gateway for another logical network. So these things, if the I have forgotten about this router, if the router is having two ports where each network can be network port can be connected, network A can be connected to the same router, and the network B can be connected to another port of the another port of the router. So in that case, the default gateways are two different things which router can identify.
That's my point. We need
is it correct what
gateways,
I said now?
Right?
Yes,
so
there are two different default gateways.
So who will be the default gateway, the router?
The default gateway for the router actually wouldn't necessarily come into play here, because as long as it's just forwarding between those two networks, the router wouldn't need a default gateway or a default route to go. If it did, then it would be assigned by more than likely by the ISP. Go ahead, Sridhar.
No. The default. Just a sec.
Yeah.
The default gateway for the host computers to the router.
Yeah, Sridhar here, Brian. Sorry for the interruption. My question is whether default gateway is the IP address of the router, or it's something especially related to the internet connection. I'm not able to understand.
Usually, if you're going, if you have a router, it would, your default gateway would end up being the router, and then if it needs to go further than that, the router will have a default gateway of its own, so that nothing's dropped. Because if you drop packets from a router, there are going to be some very unhappy people on your network.
So, what is the answer?
Brian, I shall answer this question.
Go ahead.
Sridhar, what I understood from you is, see, I said before, there's a logical network A and logical network B. These now logical networks A, which has got some 5 pieces, which is connected to one switch. From the switch, it is connected to the router. Okay, the default gateway for this is going to be the switch. Okay, from switch, it is going to be connected to a router. See, it is going to be internet address only. It is going to be IP address. All right. Similarly, it is for the logical network B, which is connected to which may be having some 5 pieces or 5 hosts, which are connected to a switch. From switch, it is going to be connected to a router. So it is port B of the router. So the default gateway again is going to be the IP address only, which will fall in the same IP same IP address. Like for example, 192.168.1. Something is 0 is going to be a default gateway always. 0 or 1, I'm not sure about that particular thing. Last host address for the default gateway, it is 0 or 1. Did I answer your question, Sridhar?
Just a sec. You just said the first switch will have a default gateway of its own.
Yeah. Yes, you are right.
A switch can have a default gateway.
Yeah, this one I need to check. Okay, this
I'm not
is
sure
a
that
very
is
long
correct. That a
I
switch can have a default gateway.
Yeah, you are right.
Because the default gateway is basically for routing packets from one network to another.
Okay, as per the definition of the default gateway, for whichever is the host is connected to the next device. The host is connected to a next one. Next is going to be a switch. From switch, it's going to be a router. Okay. So in that case, as per the definition, it should be the switch address, default gateway.
I find it a little hard to agree to this because basically the function of the default gateway is to route the packets from one network to another. And a switch can only, basically if the packets are to be sent in the same network, then they don't actually need to go to the default router. They can just use the MAC addresses to send the packet from one PC to another. But default gateway comes into picture when they have to route the packets from one network to another, like from 192.168.1.0 to say 192.168.2.0. So therein the default gateway comes into picture, and that is the function of the router to carry out. And
yes, you are
my
right.
question
you are,
is, as I was just asking Brian before, and sorry, my question is, ki if a router is having only one IP address, and that is the, if a router can be assigned more than one default gateways to connect two logical addresses or not, that is the question.
Brian,
yes,
actually,
you
well,
can assign
if,
to
some questions.
If you have, I probably gave a bad example on the with the router there, but if you have two logical networks over one physical network, I don't think the default gateway is gonna play in. So that was probably my fault for the example, but if you end up having two physical, I mean,
fault for the example, but
oh, go ahead.
If you end up having two physical, I mean,
someone has keyed the
oh,
please release.
Yes, someone's keyed.
Go ahead, Simon.
Yes, here we are talking about the two different things. One is router, and another is a default gateway. So the what as per the definition other one of our friend is telling, the default gateway is going to route the packets from one one network to another network. If that is the case, what about the router? What does the router do? And actually I'm lost, what is the default gateway, what is the actual definition of default gateway? And even default gateway also will have the IP address, or even router also have the IP address? If this is a both, if both has IP addresses, so are they different?
Can I answer that?
Okay. Somebody's keyed up again.
Yeah. I think they're gone now.
In fact, we're hearing birds from their end, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There we go. I think it is it. Is it gone?
Nope. It's not
okay.
Nope. No,
somebody's still
got
keyed.
There.
Somebody's
does anyone have any bit of sight and can see who's lit up? Who's lit up?
No, I don't think so.
And the basic question I have, whether the default gateway is a network device or not.
Well, we'll get into default gateways toward the end of the chapter.
I'm gonna systematically start muting people to figure out who it is. Alright. And it was the first name I clicked on. It's Akalish. No.
Yeah, sorry for the interruption. I think Chandrasekhar might have keyed up.
It's one of the two. Keep in mind there's two Chandrasekhars, so.
Okay.
Oh, I think it's sorted.
There we go. It's gone.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. But your default gateway, by definition, is. All right. Well, it'll be coming up in a little bit later on in the chapter. But what happens is, if your hosts want to forward something locally, say there's three hosts on 192.168.1 as the network, then they all can pretty much forward by MAC address because they're on the same network. Now, if for instance they want to forward to a different host, say on 172.16.3 network, then they would have to have the default gateway to be able to send that. And usually this is a router. usually. Because of the way that the routers handle everything. Usually a default gateway is a router, but not necessarily. But the default gateway is just the host or the device that will accept packets going to another network. Does that answer your question?
Basically, what you mean to say, the default router acts as a default gateway, but the both are not same, you're saying?
They can be, but not always. But yes, your router will act as a default gateway.
So, but the previous conversation went on, you know, there are two different concepts, the default gateway and router. That's how I got confused, actually.
Yeah, the previous one was trying to kind of get across the point that you can get two different logical networks on one physical network, and I might have messed that one up with the example I gave, but you can do it. It is possible. Okay. Anything else before we move on? Okay. So now we're going to talk about how the IP addresses and subnet masks interact and work together. Now, as I kind of talked about before, you have two different things. You have your IP address, which we've talked about quite extensively, and then you have your subnet mask, which is also a 32-bit number, basically. You have four bytes, or four octets as they're called. So you have a dotted decimal number which represents your subnet mask. And I'm sure everybody's probably seen the usual 255.255.255.0. That would be an example of a subnet mask. Now, your subnet mask actually works to determine which portion of the IP address is the host and which is the network portion. And there's a reason they stick the information about binary in at the very beginning of the chapter, because this is where it comes into play. Now, you basically you break the subnet mask. In short, you basically just break the subnet mask down into its binary equivalent, and you compare it bit for bit. And usually, what you're looking at are anywhere up to the first 24 bits, but that depends on the actual subnet mask, which that part of it's coming up, and I'll explain in just a minute as to why I say it that way. So the computers actually do like a bit-for-bit comparison, and they can determine which network, which part of the IP address is network portion, which part is the host portion. And they talk about the fact that if the network portions of a source and destination IP address match, that packets are just forwarded locally. If not, then they go through the router. And that's pretty much all there is with... Well, not quite all there is to that. So, we're going to, in a minute, go into IP address classes. But before I do that, are there any questions about subnet masks and what they're used for? Okay, there's a nice little formula in here which will determine how many hosts can be on a network. But if anybody's read the chapter and needs clarification on that, you will actually use this formula, so I might... Yeah, let me go over this, because it is used in the lab. Okay, so once you determine which port once you determine which portion of your net IP address is your host portion, there's a nice little formula that you can use to determine how many actual hosts can connect to the network. And what you do is you take two to the power of the number of host bits, and then you subtract two. So, for example, if you have eight host bits, then it would be 2 to the 8th, which is 256, and you have to subtract 2. And there's a reason for this. Because anything with a host portion of 8 zeros, which are all zeros, would be would basically show you your network identifier. Anything with a host portion of all 1s, which would be, in this case, 8 1s, is considered a broadcast address, which we'll get into here probably next lecture. But does anybody need clarification on that formula? Because you will use it. You will definitely use it in the lab.
Brian, I have a question.
Go ahead.
You were saying the formula is 2 to the power of 8 minus 2 is equal to that whatever you were saying, but I did not get what it is for and why it is for.
Okay. All right. So what you do is you to figure out how many hosts you can have, how many things you can have connected to a network. You have to figure out how many bits you have in the host portion. So I just wanted to use 8 because it's fairly simple. So if you do 2 to the 8th, you get 256. You have to subtract 2 from that, which would give you 254 hosts, because you can't use all 1s in your host portion, and you cannot use all zeros. All zeros leaves you with whatever network you're on. Oh, go ahead, Sean.
So to convert this to dotted decimal, you can't have 192.168.1.0 or 192.168.1.255 in the IP address either. So those two on the end are not used. That's why you subtract them, because you're basically ending up with the all the way from 192.168.1.10. I'm breaking it now. But you get, do you see what I'm saying?
What you end up with to kind of clarify, you can't use 192.168.1.0 because that's your actual network, and you can't use 192.168.1.255. You can't assign either of those as host IP addresses. The 192.168.1.255 is actually a special IP address, and that is a broadcast address. So that's why that one can't be used. And the zero, like I said before, identifies your network. So that's why those two can't be used. So that's how you end up with 254 hosts on that particular network. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else before we move on to types of IP addresses, which actually gets into a little bit better detail about why these subnet masks are so important? Okay. What you end up with, you have 5 different types of IP address classes. Now, these are actually based off of your subnet masks. And they go through and they do a really, I think they do a pretty good job of explaining what these actually are for. in the text, but what you have class A through E, and I'm gonna do these in actual reverse of the way they do it, I think, in the diagram. So you have classes A through E.
Why are you wanting to do it backwards?
Well, I suppose I could do it. Yeah, well, I have it backwards in my notes, I think. So let me skip down. We'll do it in actual order, because there's two of them that really aren't. Two of them that aren't really used, and we'll get into that in a minute. Okay, so let's do it this way. Class A is used for really, really large networks. And so what you have is a subnet mask of 255.0.0.0. Which means your first 8 bits of an IP address, or your first decimal number, is your network portion. And they go through and they talk about how many networks you can have, and the IP address ranges and all that good fun stuff. So you can have anywhere from, you can have like 126 different networks in this particular class. And then of course you can have well over 16 million different hosts, the way that this is defined, because you have 24 bits or three different decimal places that you can put for your hosts. So for instance, you have a 10.1.2.3, your network would be your 10, because that's the network you're on, and then the 1.2.3 would serve as your host portion. These are, like I said, these are really, 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 really large networks. So you can, like I was saying before, you can have well over 16 million hosts per network.
Yeah, because you do 2 to the power of 24 minus 2, and I can't figure out how to get Windows calculator to let me do 2 to the power of 24 right now because my brain is broken, but I'm sure it can.
You go to scientific mode, click 2, click your x to the power of y, click the 24, and it should give you what you want.
So maybe that doesn't work the way I thought it would.
As your network portions become bigger on your IP addresses, which your class B is used for medium-sized networks, which would be like your universities or maybe a medium-sized business. You have 16 bits for your for your network portion. So your IP address ends up your subnet mask ends up being 255.255.0.0, which means the last 16 bits, or the last two decimals, are used for your host portion.
Oh, it's the Y key in Windows 7. Y is to the power of... Okay. That explains why it was breaking.
You can have 16,382 possible... you can have 16,382 possible networks. And on each of those networks, you can have up to 65,534 hosts. And like I said, as you keep going up with the classes, you'll find that you can pick up fairly large amounts of networks possible. and your host portion is actually going to shrink because you have less bits available for your hosts to use. Your class C, which is pretty much what everybody's used to seeing, is used for your small networks. These would be like your home networks, maybe your small office networks. These have your IP address of 255.255.255.0, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with
Subnet
seeing.
mask.
All right, excuse me. Yeah, subnet mask.
Yeah, you
Why do I
said
keep
IP
saying
address.
IP
Wait,
address?
that's.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, because we only talked about it forever and a minute ago.
Yeah, that would be your subnet mask of 255.255.255.0, which gives you 24 bits, or your first three decimals for your network portion, and the last 8 bits, or the last decimal, would be for your host portion. And this says it gives you up to 2,097 networks possible, with 254 hosts per network. Now, Class D, which actually you won't see, not usually. Class D is your multicast networks. These are for all your nice little video games or chat programs, whatever that have to broadcast either one message to a group of other connected computers. They don't give subnet mask for this because it's not you can't use it as an actual commercial host value, as they say. And then Class E is used for experimental usage, and they really don't give much information on that either. And you're not really likely to see Class D and E. The main ones that you're going to see are classes A, B, and C, which actually deal with the networks themselves. Any questions on that?
Brian, this is Suman.
Anyone awake?
Can I ask?
I'm not sure who that is, and your audio is a little quiet.
Me?
No.
No, one of.
I think it was Suman, but if it was, your audio is quiet.
Yeah. My question is, you were saying class A is 255.0.0.0, and the class B is 255.255.0.0. Similarly, class C is 255.255.255.0. So here, the class A is greater than class B, greater than class C, you mean to say. Is it right?
Well, what ends up happening is you end up having more bits used in your subnet, in your, excuse me, in your IP address, used for your network portion. So class A is a really large network. So
And
that's your
then there's not
probably your
many of them in the whole
largest.
world.
Yeah. Then you move to class B, which is a smaller, well, like a medium network, more for universities or corporations. And then class C is more for your small business or for your home users. So what actually ends up happening, you are devoting more of your IP address to your network portions. As you go up the class lists, because your networks are actually going to shrink. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, getting it.
Okay. Anything else on the IP address classes? And there is a reason they cover there is a reason they cover this. And we'll get into that in just a minute here. Questions?
Brian, how many hosts we can have for class A? But I got to know from you 16 million hosts.
And then you subtract 2 from that, and you get.
That's correct. And the reason I didn't actually, I do have the actual number in my notes, but in a Class A network, you have 16,777,214 hosts. So whoever put that formula in there.
And you actually memorized
Thank you.
That?
No, actually, I didn't. It's in my notes.
Fair.
No, I didn't memorize that. I don't think I could memorize all that. That's all in my notes. But see, that's where the host formula that I gave you earlier comes into play. You can actually figure out how many hosts you can have on a network. Now, I do want to point something out here. There is, and I don't remember which question it is in the lab. There's a question that says optional, and it gives you a subnet mask that is not your typical subnet mask. I would like to see everybody try this one. It really is not hard. I think that you have a decent enough grasp of the binary. And I think you could get the idea behind it.
You guys will probably be better than, because it literally took me almost an entire lecture to get binary and actually do it. Well, like, we obviously moved on, but I didn't really get it for like a long time after. So if you got, Brian's right, you guys got the binary so well that that shouldn't be as difficult as it is for someone like me who finds math excruciating.
All right. Any other questions? I think we're going to cover one more section here tonight. I believe we have time. Yep.
Do people have enough brain left?
Can you just tell me once, how do we calculate the number of... Can you just tell me how do we calculate the number of hosts in a network?
Okay. So what you do, you figure out how many host bits you have, whether it's 8, 16, or 24. Those are your standards. Now, I bring that up because you figure out your number of host bits. You take 2 to that number, and then you subtract 2. So the example I gave earlier was 2 to the power of 8, which gives you 256. Then you subtract 2 from that, which would give you 254. And that was for your Class C network. So that's how they come up. That's where you come up with the 254 hosts for your Class C network.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
Okay.
No, we haven't.
I'm not
done
sure
that
who's.
Yet.
No, we haven't. I probably should have. Does anybody want to do that? Is the next question.
Yeah, please.
Sure, we won't.
Okay. Alright. Let me go back into chat here.
This I can actually do as long as I have a calculator.
Yeah.
I actually need a calculator for the other one too sometimes.
Okay, so...
just for adding.
I'm assuming since everybody understands the conversion from decimal to binary that you actually understand how to convert stuff back to since you understand the binary part of it, let's try the number 24. You want to do decimal to binary, correct? Yeah, so let's try doing 24 to binary.
It will be 11,000?
1100.
Yes, that would be right. I was trying to go back and look at it. Yep. Because you have, 16 and 8, which would give you your 24. Very good.
So which one was it? Because you had two similar answers. You had someone said 1100 and someone said 11,000. So 1100 is, I take it, the one.
Wait a minute. Okay, let me see here. No, 1100 would not, or 1100 would not be the right answer, because that would end up giving you...
It will be 12.
Well, oh yeah, that's not enough
yes.
places.
Yes, yep, that's it. That's it. So Neil had it right with 11000, because you need the extra zero. Very good. Alright, so let's try... Well, I'll do it this way. Hey, Sean, you want to throw out a number?
No, because it'll probably suck.
Okay.
I will, with my luck, I will pick the most ridiculous number, so no, I don't want to do it.
You want a number?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants a number.
We're going decimal to binary or binary to decimal? I
just got back to the binary now.
Decimal to binary.
They
decided they wanted to do that.
232.
Okay, she's more evil than me.
Oh, I'm not.
Alright. 232 to binary.
I stayed within the 8-digit time, or the 8 digits. I guess he didn't like that.
Who didn't?
No, I don't know. Pretty.
Question once again, madam.
Go ahead, Sunil.
Question once again.
232 is the number she gave you.
232.
Okay, thank you.
That should use up all 8 of your columns.
11, 11, 00, 00.
Write it down, please.
He did.
The answer is 11, 11, 00, 00. May I correct?
That's fine.
Yeah, same. 11, 11, 00, 00.
11, 11, 00, 00 is what they're saying.
11, 01, 00, 00.
How, ma'am?
Oh.
How?
Okay. Can I have a doubt, ma'am?
Okay, go ahead.
Madam, first of all, that 8-digit one have contained 128. The 7-digit one contains 64. Actually, 192. Sorry, yeah, 192. Then 32 equal to 1214. Okay, fine, thank you. But there also one mistake on 11100. This is my answer.
Let's see. Let's work it out. Because seriously, I just picked a number out of the blue. And I'm looking at the answer on my Braille display. So when you get an answer, you can always convert it back to check it, which is what we're going to do. So we've got 128.
Grace, can you, like, move your microphone a little bit?
Oh, yeah, I can. Quiet. Is that better?
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
So we've got 232. 232 was the number. And, hold on. Okay. So we have 8 digits. Yep, I'm right. Okay. So we have the first digit on the left-hand side is a 1. That equals 128. plus 64 is 192. Then we have a 0 that is going to skip the 16 spot. Oh.
You're at 32, Grace, if you want to go from left to right.
62. Oh, yes, I'm at 32. I skipped a digit. Thank you. I told you I was really bad at this, guys. 194. So what's 192 plus 32? Anyone know?
234, actually.
That was really loud.
It's 234. 192 plus 32.
224, not 294.
Oh, yeah, 224.
Okay.
Yeah, 224. Yeah, that should be 224.
So we have nothing in this. No. 111, 3 ones. Then 10 in the 16 spot, so nothing. 224 plus 8 is 232. So the answer is 11101000. I can write it out. Sure.
I have a question here.
Hey.
This is Suman Brian again. So is there any algorithm make this very easier way? Because every time calculating in the brain is, it's a bit difficult. Not a bit difficult, I think it's a lot of difficult. So is there any algorithm where we can write, very easily within a second or within a 1 minute or something like that?
Okay.
Well, you could use Windows calculator in scientific mode, which is what the lab wants you to do, but
But we'd like you to know how to actually
if you're
do them.
ever going to go any
Honestly.
farther, hold on. If you're
Excuse me,
going to
sir.
go,
Can I told how it's done manually?
yeah, that's what we're doing. If you ever do it, go any farther than this class, if you ever want to go any farther in Kavi, you need to start learning how to do this without Windows Calculator now. Or at least understand how to check your work. Because you will not be, if when you take the CCNA, you'll be given a piece of paper and a pen and a reader, and they will be writing down things on a piece of paper for you. There's no calculator. So you want to know how to do this without.
No, of course we know manually, but that is a very like time-taking process, and maybe some accuracy issues
Yeah.
and all those things. I
You're
just
going to have to take the time to
for
do this.
I
Because
think
you know
that's not
what?
the that's not a complete solution, I feel, because if you are going if I'm doing some network things, if I'm doing and sitting manually all the things, it's not going to help me, right?
Not really, unless you want to use a calculator. This is the best, easiest way. If you have somebody in a wood shop that can make you a pegboard, that it does help in calculating these. I use a pegboard at the lab to do my calculations and to remember what I've done. You can also use Excel to keep track. but really, it's important to understand how to do these. I'm really slow at it myself, and I'm basically terrible at it, but if you give me
She
five
can
or
do
10 minutes, I can do it.
it. It's not gonna be an instantaneous, easy process to do binary to decimal or decimal to binary. And
Some people are just
I
insanely
had
good at it, but not everybody, not many people are. And if you're one of those people where it just clicks, then yay, and we may not like you very much because of that.
Well,
I'm
when I
just kidding.
went through, when I went through and did this, it does. It will take a little bit of time to do the conversions by hand. So it is going to take time. So there's not exactly like an easy way to do it manually. And like I said, you can do it in Excel, you can do it with a pegboard, you could do it with calculator, but if you really want to actually understand the conversions and be able to do them with any of the CCNA exams, you're more than likely going to need to do it like by hand or be able to tell somebody.
We're not done.
Guys, I do two lessons on binary. Two whole lessons. You guys are getting off light.
There's a problem. If anyone really wants to challenge themselves, it's the optional problem at the end. And,
Yeah, he's
you
asking them
know.
to do it.
Oh, is
I've
he?
already said I would like them to try it.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you something about that problem. It took me, somebody, I thought it took me about 45 minutes to do it. Apparently, it took me 20 minutes to do it. And that made me feel really good about myself because that was fast for me. So, if it takes you a while to do it, don't feel bad. It does take a long time to work that problem out. But if you can do that, you should feel really good about yourself because that is quite a complex little bit of work.
The optional problem in the lab is it, I looked at it and I said, what do they want? Because it's not a standard subnet mask. And you have to go through, you have to convert it. There's no other way around it. And it did. It took me a while. I think it probably took me probably 20 or 30 minutes to go through that one. So it will take a while, but trust me, it will definitely be worth it if you can do it. And yes, I would like everybody to give it a shot. So it is a not optional. I do want everybody to do it.
So, we didn't quite get that last problem right. Anyone want another one? Oh, that's a no. Okay, good luck on that optional problem, everybody. It's due next week.
Yeah, I don't think I want to start the next section. The next section's public and private IP addresses. That's going to take a little more than 10 minutes we have left.
Brian, I have one quick question. Can I ask you?
Go ahead.
So in a CCNA exam, you know, can we use the Excel sheet over there to calculate these things?
No.
Nope.
You don't get a computer. You get a piece of paper, a pen, and a writer, and they've got a little computerized thing that they put your answers on. There is no Excel sheet. There is your reader and paper, and that's what you have.
Means we get a scribe.
Of course.
Yep.
That may not do any mathematical calculation. You must do all the calculations yourself.
Yeah. See, only thing, you know, in the case of these conversions, we need to remember too many bits. So in that case, I thought I can put it put those things into Excel sheet one by one and then add up. So for that reason, I asked you, if I get a scribe, it's fine. I can do it. Not a problem.
Yeah, they will write anything you want and read anything you want back to you. We want to work on getting pegboards into testing centers so that you have an easier time at it. But right now, that's not what's going on.
Just a nice quick question for everybody. If you've gone through networking at college level or any kind of computer science or computer-based learning, computer science or computer architecture, didn't they work on, I know in my college, but didn't they work on a little bit of binary with you guys that went through the networking and stuff at college?
Yeah, but I didn't understand.
Yeah, everyone have gone through all these binary conversions and decimal conversions. I think there's going to be a binary, I mean, there's going to be a basic thing which will be taught in the primary schools also.
Wow.
That's not something young kids are doing here, that's for sure.
Absolutely not.
Not at that level.
They don't even start on that probably until any computer classes and like...
Yeah.
Good night.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
That would be a cool thing to have had in class. But with me, when I went through my computer science stuff, I was in class and they were writing things on the board. And I didn't have a Braille or anything. I had, and I actually went when they started going through binary in the second term. Oh, no, I did have a note taker. But they weren't able to Braille or anything because they didn't know Braille, so it wasn't very much.